transcribed.
Reminiscing, I feel you near. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Howdy, folks.
Yes, it is your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Tonight, Jimmy Durante remembers radio, Chapter 2.
Folks, this life is tough. We both suffer such abuses.
Girls phoning day and night, I've run out of excuses.
We're not bragging, we're complaining, and don't think this is treason.
We know we're not good looking.
Our proboscises are the reason. Who's got all the charm?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the personality?
Hope and Durante.
Who's got all the savoir-faire?
Durante and Hope.
Who's got all the money?
Crosby.
Honest, this is not just a lot of noise.
We wish there was something we could do for other boys. No wonder fellas in this town walk around with a great big frown.
They're jealous of the boys with the proboscis. They beg for dates with all the chicks, but we have to beat them off with sticks.
No one likes the boys with the proboscis. Our secret is variety. That's what we found.
My nose turns up.
And my nose turns down.
We get an awful problem. Every time we get too close, we lock bumpers.
You'd think this life would make us smile, but it gets boring after a while.
Don't blame us if we sit around and mope.
Now analyze our assets from our profile to our chassis.
I've got so much more than Gregory.
I've got so much more than Lassie.
So if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope,
beware of the boys of the proboscis.
Jim, my nose has never been any handicap when it comes to girls. Why, in one night I once went out with 5 girls.
So what? In one night I once went out with 10 girls.
Well, on my dresser, I've got pictures of 20 beautiful girls.
On my dresser, I got pictures of 40 beautiful girls.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been proposed to by 50 girls.
But I've been proposed to by 100 girls.
Well? Oh, no, you don't. This time, you go first.
So, if you've got a sweetie and you plan to elope, beware of the boys with the proboscis. Yes, sir. Beware of the boys with the proboscis.
The Durante radio years are remembered by musical director Roy Bargy.
Jimmy was quick with a compliment if he particularly liked one of them.
Writer Elon Packard.
Hey, hold it, Jim. You left out a few there, I think.
Co-star Gary Moore.
Jimmy and I came from two totally different kinds of backgrounds.
Producer director Phil Cohen.
This was Gary's material. He would write it.
And Jimmy Durante.
Now the theme, Inka-Dinka-Doo, and you got to start off each day with a song. Well, naturally, they're still with me, and I still do them in the act. Ain't that funny? I still do them in the act. That stuck with me, you know, Inka-Dinka-Doo, and you got to start off each day with a song.
Jimmy was quick with a compliment if he particularly liked one of my arrangements, but he sometimes suggested minor changes, and I made the changes without argument, sometimes against my best musical judgment, believing that he should have his music just the way he wanted it. Because of this simple chord structure of most Durante songs, there is a certain sameness about them, but I believe this helps identify the man with his music. Almost everyone recognizes a Durante tune, even whether he's singing it or not.
And, my God, I remember Leo Salomon, great writer, Sid Resnick, Stanley Davis is around, yes, and a good writer, and a wonderful writer.
Hey, hold it, Jim. You left out a few there, I think. Were some other boys who worked when I was on the show. There was Les White and Bud Pearson, Norman Paul, Jack Ellenson. Worst of all, you left out me. You remember Elon Packard? Well, you never could get it straight, Jim, if you remember that. Jimmy, I could never figure out the name Elon. To him, that didn't sound like a name. Whenever he said it, it came out Leon. Even over all the years that I knew him, it was always Leon. If I were to meet him on the street today, he'd say, "Hiya, Leon." I remember after I'd known him for, quite a few years, the phone rang at my house one day. I picked it up. This voice said, "Hello, Leon?" I said, "Hi, Jim." He says, "How'd you know it was me?" That voice, he calling me Leon, I knew right off it wasn't Richard Burton. Anyway, when I first started on the show, I learned right away that you couldn't write malaprops for Jimmy, those goofed up words. Whenever you tried to write them, they just didn't come off funny. The only way they worked was, you'd write the word the way it should be written, and the way Jimmy said it, it came out funny. Like we had one time he said, "I'm laboring under a misapprehension." Well, when Jimmy said it, it was misapprehension. And sometimes Jimmy wouldn't understand the jokes, because of some of the words in them, or maybe they were topical and he didn't quite know what you were getting at. I'd say to him, "Look, Jim, go out, just read it off the paper. I guarantee it's going to be funny." He'd say, "Okay, but you go out in the parking lot and keep the motor running, because if this thing don't get a laugh, you better not be here after the show."
The head cats really love them. Even like them down in Chile, when you worry. Better send for Umbriaco in a hurry. Now he got lots of time. That's all he spends his time. He never spends a dime. So when you feel low, better send for my friend Umbriaco.
Umbriaco, my God. Well, Umbriaco is Umbriaco is an Italian expression. It means not exactly a drunkard, but a drinker. It's a drinker. And it's not exactly, like I just said before, a drunkard. But he'd be walking down the streets and, in a nice jolly way and hello to the neighbors as he's walking down the neighborhood. Hello to the neighbors. And he'd start off and they'd say, "Umbriaca." That means that he's half drunk. And because now if he was just say a drunkard, it don't sound good. But it wasn't a drunkard. He was just a happy-go-lucky. That was a great expression.
Jimmy and I came from two totally different kinds of backgrounds. Mine was comparatively tremendously privileged. Not that my family was wealthy, but they were comfortable. I had the advantages of a good education. Whereas Jimmy came from a background of a somewhat culturally deprived background, you say. But his mother and father must have been truly saint-like people. I never knew them. But they instilled in him a sense of honesty, integrity, and decency. That was tremendous. And if moments of pressure came on the show when we were preparing the show, when we were writing the script, and we couldn't find a big punchline to end the sketch on, I would be the one who would give in to the pressure and say, "Jimmy, let's do a girdle joke." Now, in those days, a girdle joke was considered very racy. You just didn't talk about girdles. It wasn't nice. But you could conceivably get away with it, and it was a guaranteed laugh just because it was naughty. But Jimmy was the one who would say to me, "Look, Junior, They may laugh at it, but they won't like you for it. He has an innate sense of taste, of what is decent and what is good. And odd that I should have to learn this from him.
I don't know if you remember, way back in those 40s, they had a big blizzard one year, and a whole bunch of cattle were stranded back in Wyoming or someplace like that. And they got together a thing they called a haylift, where the planes flew over and dropped bundles of hay down to the cattle so they wouldn't starve there. And we had some sort of a joke. I don't even remember what the joke was, but Jimmy read it and very seriously says, you know, says, I don't think we ought to do that. He says, I wouldn't want to do jokes about them poor cows. So we cut it out. Just little things like that you remember him for. And another time at the Brown Derby, decided to play a gag on him, so I had the head waiter bring me Cherry's Jubilee for dessert. Jimmy was up at the other end of the table. Now the captain wheels over this tray with all of this stuff on it, the big bowl of ice cream, the cherries, and he finally sets fire to the brandy, and the flames are rising up, and Jimmy looks over like he'd seen it for the first time. Says, who ordered that, as if I didn't know? He says, this guy thinks he's eating with the Aga Khan. But Jimmy's eating habits were very simple. Now, at home, all I ever saw him eat at home was cornflakes. The cupboards were stocked with cornflakes, and that was his favorite dish. You'd open the refrigerator, there was nothing in it. But as long as he had the cornflakes, Maggie, his maid, who was with him for many, many years, used to fix his cornflakes for him, and I've been away from him for several years. I went over there one day, he called me for a meeting on some nightclub stuff or something, and I went in it, and there he was sitting at the table, eating his cornflakes. I said, things haven't changed a bit. At the end of the 46th season, Jimmy threw a party for the whole crew and the writers and the performers and everything at the Beverly Hills Club. And it was a very nice affair. And after we had dinner and drinks, and after it was all over, we decided to play a joke on him, and we got a waiter to give us a check. So we filled this check out for an enormous amount of money, like $4,300 or something, and gave it to the waiter and had him put it down at Jimmy's place when it was time to go. And Jimmy finally turned around, picked up the check, looked at it, and he bangs his hand on the table. He says, what happened? Did somebody break a gold door? Well, our joke backfired. He got the laugh.
Well, it's too bad you didn't marry her. You might have become president.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll bet you that... Oh, wait a minute. I'll take it. Hello? Oh, sure, just a minute. It's for you, Jimmy. Washington calling.
Washington? Everybody wants to get into the act. Well, that got started in my vaudeville days. I remember even at Low States, first year, there'd be the ushers that walked down the aisle and says, looking, everybody wants to get into the act. And I've used that expression ever since. I still use it. And on that record, we did, I got the idea of, for the first time, saying, good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are. Of course, that was my wife. I had lost her in 43, and I just said it on the radio, and they thought I was kidding, and they wanted to know who it was, and I would never tell them. That was just my good night to my wife.
The thing, if we can find with Gary, if you get on the records, was the thing ahead of, we used to call it a Jasper Junction. This was Gary's material. He would write it, and it was a tour de force.
Gary would say to him, I just got a new job, Jimmy. And Jimmy would say, oh, yeah, where is your new job, Junior? And Gary would say, I got a job in the Jerkwater Joint in Jersey, Jimmy. And Jimmy would repeat, you got a job in the Jerkwater Joint in Jersey, Junior? He'd say, what is your new job in the Jerkwater Joint in Jersey? He'd say, well, I'm a fender mender and a blender bender in the Jerkwater Joint in Jersey, Jimmy. And Jimmy would repeat that, and then he'd keep adding to it and adding to it. And by the time we got to the end, Jimmy was fumbling all over the place, but it came off very funny in the laughs built. You know, Jimmy had lines in it like, now I know how he does it. He just starts his mouth and leaves it running.
What in the...
Who will be with you when we're far away? Encore me that note, Kookie. Will ya? Oh, sounds like the all-clear signal at Coney Island.
Oh, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Durante.
You know why a bear can't take his coat off?
No, Mr. Durante. Why can't a bear take his coat off?
Because he don't know where the buttons are.
Oh, hilarious, Mr. Durante.
Yes, very hilarious, Mr. Moore. Now, who will be with you when we're far away?
When we're far away from you.
We ain't got good voices, but we're sympathetic personalities.
Yeah, we're pretty, too. Say, Mr. Durante.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Do you know what the lightning bug said when it got caught in the lawnmower?
No, tell me, Mr. Moore. What did the lightning bug say when it got caught in the lawnmower?
I'm delighted. No end.
Delighted, no end. Very whimsical, Mr.
Oh,
Moore.
Oh, whimsical. I don't even get it myself.
Then now, who will be with you? When we're far away.
Say, Mr. Durante.
Yes, Mr. Moore.
Did it ever occur to you that we're wasting a lot of material?
How do you mean, Mr. Moore?
These jokes, we're telling them too quickly. Now, if you ever listened to the radio, you'd know that a radio comedian never tells a joke in two lines if he can possibly do it in 12 pages. Now, I've taken our next joke and really spread it out. Would you care to have a go at it?
Just hand me the script and stand back.
Very well. It starts like this. When I say to you, say, Jimmy.
Yes, Junior.
I want to tell you that I got a new job, Jimmy.
You want to tell me that you got a new job, Junior?
Yes, I want to tell you that I got a new job, Jimmy.
Very well. Tell me that you got a new job, Junior.
Very well, I shall tell you that I've got a new job, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy.
Yes, Junior.
I've got a new job, Jimmy.
You've got a new job, Junior?
Yes, I've got a new job, Jimmy.
Well, tell me, where is your new job located, Junior?
Where is my new job located, Jimmy?
Yes, where is your new job located, Junior?
Well, my new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Your new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Yes, my new job is located in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Now, tell me, who's your new job within the tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, my new job is with a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Your new job is with a first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior.
Yes, my new job is with a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Now tell me, who do you work for in your new job with the four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, I work for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
You work for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Yes, I work for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Now, tell me, what do you do in the new job at the storage store in the tiny town in the city Links Minks and the four-story in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior?
Why, I'm one of the punks who dunks mumps and skunks for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
You're one of the punks who dunks mumps and skunks for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story, I got it. In a tiny town in a tiny town called Jasper Junction, Jimmy. I mean Junior.
Yes, I'm one of the punks who dunks mumps and skunks for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at a four-story, first-story store in a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Jimmy.
Now tell me, how is your new job as one of the punks who dunks mumps and skunks for the Jinko Shrinks Minks and Links at the four-story... I missed it. In a tiny town in Tennessee called Jasper Junction, Junior.
It's the old skin game, Jimmy. The old skin game. Well, Jimmy, what do you think?
There must be an easier way to make a living.
When we're far away.
When we're far away from you.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Far away from you. We're far away from you.
Jimmy, during rehearsal sometime, would get these fast-talking names down, and it would be an alliterative thing. You're going down to Jasper Junction. Who are you going to see down to Jasper Junction? I'm going down to Junction, all in J's. Well, then the following week could be called something else, but we always call it a Jasper Junction because that was the first one. Well, then it got to the point where Jimmy got to get it pretty good, you see, in rehearsal. And just before it went on the air, I'd slip in a new sheet. And here we go.
Hey, old Jim. Jim, here's that writer's office. You see, his name is on the door. It says, Roland V. Scott, creator and writer of The House of Hortense Schmidlap, also The House of Fear, The House of Crime, The House of Mystery, The House of Suspicion, no vacancies anywhere. Come on in, Jim. Let's go.
Slowly, the door opened, and in walked these two horrible-looking creatures. They looked like men, but were they? The one had the features of an anteater. While the other's head had the appearance of a badly frightened porcupine. The anteater spoke first.
Hey, are you Scott? Ah! Heavens, it come to life! Help! Help!
No, 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 take it easy. Take it easy, Scott. We're not ghosts. We're Durante and Moore of the Rexall Show.
Oh, boy, you really scared me. This murder mystery I'm writing is one of the weirdest I've ever done.
Really?
Yes. In the first chapter, there's a body.
Murder?
Murder. In the second chapter, there's another body.
Murder?
Murder. Then in the third chapter, there's a beautiful blonde sweater girl.
Murder! Ah, Durante, you mad fool, you.
Mr. Scott, we just came here to ask you one thing. In today's episode of the Schmidlap Show, did Claude shoot himself or did Claude shoot Hortense?
Hortense? Claude? Well, let me see. Was it Hortense or Claude? I can't remember. My mind's confused. These cereals are driving me out of my mind. I can't remember now whether it was Hortense or Claude. Hortense or Claude! I'm going mad! I'm going to end it all!
Good heavens, he shot himself.
Mr. Scott, are you badly hurt? Are you going to die?
I don't know yet. Tune in tomorrow and find out.
It's too late, Jim. He's gone.
What a catastrophe. Now the world will never know what happened to Claude and Hortense.
Yes, they will, Jim. Scott's typewriter is still there with lots of blank paper. Move over and let me sit down.
Sit down? What for?
I've taken on a new job, Jimmy.
You have taken on a new job, Junior?
Yes, I've taken on a new job, Jimmy.
Well, tell me, where's your new job going to be located, Junior?
Why, my new job is going to be located right on the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot.
Your new job is going to be located in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Junior?
Yes, my new job is going to be located on the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
Pulling the poop deck, Captain. Pulling the poop deck, Captain. There's rough seas ahead. What are you going to do in your new job in the self-same spot where old sad old Scott sat and old sad old Scott got shot, Junior?
Why, I'm going to be a pretty pippy perpetrator of passionate plots for popular programs in this self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
You're going to be a pretty pepper percolator of passionate plots of popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when old sad Scott got shot, Junior.
I'm going to be a pretty baby perpetrator of passionate plots for popular programs on the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
How many points do I need to get released from this? But tell me, have you had any experience as a pretty baby percolator of passionate plots for popular programs on the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott, Junior?
Have I had any experience? Why, I used to be one of the zippy drips who slips quips into scripts for a pretty peppy perpetrator of fashion plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
You used to be one of the zippy drips who slips quips into scripts for a pretty peppy perpetrator of passionate plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where a sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Junior?
One of the zippy drips who slips quips in the script for a pretty peppy perpetrator of plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
Put a chala chala in this and chickery chick goes. But tell me, were you any good as one of the zippy drips who slips quips at the script for a pretty peppy percolator of passionate plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Junior?
Was
was I any good? Why, I was one of the prize guys whose wise replies brought custard pies from wise GIs. This is it. Good scripts and scripts for a pretty baby perpetrator of fashion plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
You were one of the prize guys who wise replies brought custard pies from wise GIs, Mississippi's drip who slips quips into scripts for a pretty petty percolator of passionate plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot.
Yes, that was one of the prize guys whose wise replies brought custard pies from wise GIs. This is Zippy Drip who slips quips into scripts for a pretty perfect perpetrator of passionate plots for popular programs in the self-same spot where sad old Scott sat when sad old Scott got shot, Jimmy.
I'm just a tool of a superior brain. But tell me one last thing. Do you think I could get a job as one of the prize guys whose wise replies brought custard pies from wise GIs as one of the Zippy Drips who slips into scripts for the... what you just said, Junior?
Certainly, Jim, certainly. You could type, tripe, and wipe type for one of the prize guys whose wise replies are memorized and plagiarized by other guys.
That's all, brother, that's all. From now on, you may erase me as an acquaintance.
Jimmy, what are you doing? Jimmy, put down that gun. Oh, Jimmy, no. You didn't shoot yourself, did you?
I don't know. Tune in tomorrow and find out.
Unlike most singers, Jimmy liked to hear the melody in his arrangements. And I usually gave it to him, of course, because that's the way he wanted it. Usually played by the strings, reeds, or both, with the brass playing fill-ins. On certain tunes, the brass was cued in so he could have the band come up 48 at any time he wanted it. The instrumentation I used was four or five saxophones, doubling woodwinds, three trumpets, two trombones, four and sometimes six violins, piano, guitar, bass, and drums. Jim has his own personal pianist, George Finley, and Jack Roth, his drummer, who has been with him since the Clayton Jackson Durante days. These two play all Sage and club dates, but did not play for me on radio or television. So I always used the best drummer available and had him play in Jack Roth style so Jimmy would hear that beat so important to his music. Orchestral balance was no problem in radio studios as the band was set up at the back of the stage and Jimmy worked in front of it and close to the studio audience.
And then it was very interesting. At the end of 5 years, the show had been successful. It wasn't the most successful show in radio, but it was one of the most successful shows. And the future for the team looked rosy, except for the fact that I was, by that time, I would suppose, 32, 33, I'm not sure which, and Durante was 22 years older than that. Well, now I am currently 57 years old, but that would have made Durante at that time about 55. And from my vantage point then, 55 seemed like an ancient man. And I thought to myself, here I am playing as sort of foil for a man who might hang up his gloves any day. And then what will become of me? I will be an abbot without a Costello. And if I am good enough to eventually survive on my own, I'd better find it out now, one way or another. I'd better quit our relationship and go off on my own and find out if I can make it on my own. And if I can't, then it's time to get into the shoe business. But I didn't want to delay it to a later period in my life. Well, the Mark of Durante was illustrated at that time by the fact that when I withdrew from the partnership, the advertising agency was very upset because they had a winning team going. The sponsors were upset for the same reason. Other people on the show were upset because they were part of a going thing. But Durante was the one who understood, because if you look back in Durante's history, there came a time when Durante had to break up the team of Clayton Jackson and Durante and go off on his own. And so this was more or less history repeating itself. And when people were angry at me and would say to Jim, aren't you angry that Gary is pulling out of this successful partnership? Their Durante was the one who says the kid's got to do what he's got to do.
Much to our regret, he left, and then Jimmy continued on with the show with people like Alan Young and Don Ameche and Victor Moore, and then we used guest stars from pictures and radio at that time for two more years. That was under the sponsorship of the Campbell people, who were the original sponsors on our show. In between, we'd had 3 years with the Rexall Drug Company. The show was originally started on CBS in New York, and Jimmy had a new MGM contract to make movies, and we subsequently wound up all of us moving to California. So we came out here, came out of the CBS studios on Sunset Boulevard, and then when we changed sponsorship later on, we moved over to NBC. It was the latter part of the war years. We did a lot of traveling for war bond shows, army camps, and we originated really all over the country for several years.
I can remember that after I left Schnoz, I had been assured by my agents that sponsors would be coming knocking at my door to star me in a show of my own. While I not only didn't come knocking on the door, they didn't even come up the street. And I sat around all one summer, terribly depressed, because I had expected to be snapped up for the fall season by any one of a number of sponsors. And I was sitting around terribly depressed because at that time, a lot of other young people were coming along as summer replacements and with shows of their own upcoming in the fall and doing very well. And there I was sitting at home and nothing happening. And I called Jimmy up to go down to his house and ask him for his advice. I didn't tell him why I was coming. I just told him I wanted to talk to him. Well, Jimmy, as you know, is marvelous on stage and marvelous to be with, but he has very little small talk. He has difficulty dealing with abstraction. Although he understands people's feelings, he finds it hard to articulate. And when I got there, I went through my whole category of woes, telling him that I thought I was probably no good, and should I get out of the business, or what should I do? And Jimmy said, "Junior, let me show you something." And he took me out in his backyard. Now, during the half hour, while I was on my way from my house to his house, he had sensed what my concern was, what my worry was. And he had created a little sort of an exhibition. He made a little pile of fertilizer, shall I say, to be polite, manure that was being used on his lawn that fall. And next to it, he made a small pile of gold trinkets, like an old gold watch and a gold ring. They made it a little pile, but it was all gold. He just took me outside and he pointed to the pile of fertilizer. And he says, "Junior, that's them other guys." He pointed to the pile of gold and says, "Junior, that's you."
Well, I think we had about 2 days of rehearsal prior to the day of the air show. Of course, the writers would immediately begin working on the next week's show as soon as we finished one. That was typical of all radio weekly series. Then we would have a reading rehearsal, say, on Wednesday, and rewrite and come in Thursday. And then on the day of the show, we'd have another rewrite up to the last minute of going on air. Again, that was typical, particularly of comedy shows, where there was always a change of a gag, or somebody came up with some brilliant new idea, or you had to make some severe cuts, or the censor would come down at the last minute, and you would have to find a change.
Well, Don Ameche, naturally, he was really great. Really great. Don Ameche and Candy Candido worked with me in my act for a long while.
Tell me, sir, after tasting the meal we prepared, how do you feel?
Low mighty feeling I am.
Wait a minute, you're the fellow who always says I'm feeling mighty low. Why did you read the line backwards?
I got a left-handed typewriter.
Arthur Treacher, I remember. Oh, and Georgia Gibbs. She was a great entertainer. And she's a great singer. And I often wondered what become, you know, of Georgie. Because she was so marvelous.
Jimmy often played the piano on the show. In his very early days, he was known as Ragtime Jimmy Durante around New York and played very well in his own individual style. I think the best thing he did and still does on piano was Real Piano Player with Al Jolson. They really broke it up, and we repeated it later with Bing Crosby. Jimmy still uses the tune in his act.
Mr. Rembrandt needed a piece of canvas before he could paint a thing. Then Venuto Cellini needed a chisel before he could start sculpturing. And folks, Jolie needed a great piano player before he can start to sing.
Al, stop worrying. I'm here. Go ahead. Let your voice start to ring.
Say, James, do you play a compliment?
Compliment? I never heard of that song. How does it go?
No, I mean, can you play classic stuff like Levant or Jose Iturbe?
I'm even better. Can Jose Iturbe play this? Or 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 this? Ah, Jose, make way for Nose.
Why, Jimmy, you're sensational. What are we waiting for? Let's go. Cause it's a thrill when a real piano player sits down at the key. It makes him wick in the knee to hear him. Oh, what a kick when a real piano player starts to tinkle away. It makes the boys fight again.
Well, I can understand your bliss. Don't get excited, Al. Compose yourself.
But Levant was never like this.
Listen close.
Oh, hear those harmonies.
You know, this is very tiring. I can play with all my might.
Here's a dollar, kid. Don't stop. Keep playing all night. Cause it's a thrill
when a real piano player sits down at the keys.
Two beers upstairs. Bring them right up, son.
And you'll notice, Mr. Jolson, I don't need Larry Parks to play the black keys.
Keep going, boys. Let's hear that beat. Make that old piano smolder with heat.
He can't resist it. Just look at him shake. Take the break. Paderewski, Iturbe. What guys I admired.
Forget them all, son. Name your prize, James. You're hired.
What a thrill when a real piano player sits down at the key. Sits down at the key.
And we used big-name guest stars, which we hadn't done too much before. People like Greer Garson, Al Jolson, Charles Boyer, Bob Hope, Crosby.
Bing, sing softer, sing sweeter, sing gentle.
Can't I sing loud and yet sentimental?
No, Bing, sing soft. In the end, you'll rejoice.
La 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 la. What a crime to soften this voice. Will I thrill the ladies wherever I go?
Sure, I promise to make you the next Vaughn Monroe.
Oh, sheer heaven.
Just sing soft,
soft,
sweet,
sweet,
gentle.
So gentle.
It's hopeless. This guy'll never improve.
I try hard, Professor, to be on my toes.
Watch me see my volume is soft, never grows.
Oh, but James, you have the best of me. You've taken advantage. You wear a mute on your nose.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. When I want to sing soft, I start to note my diaphragm.
I'm with you.
Bring it all the way up to the epiglottis.
Nice country there.
Around the roof of my epiglottis. And out through my nose.
Well, no wonder it's soft. After that trip, it's too weak to make it.
But it's soft.
And it's sweet.
And it's gentle.
Oh, I guess, Maestro, I'm just a dullard. I can't seem to grasp it.
Well, let's look at your theme song.
All right, but go easy. Remember, you're speaking of the buttons and bows of its day.
It's not the song I'm complaining about.
No?
It's the way you sing it.
What do I do?
It hasn't got the flavor a theme song should have.
Maestro, what, pray, would your solution be?
Well, let me show you how you ought to sing it.
Durante style, huh? Soft, sweet, and gentle?
Precisely.
Let's hear it.
Where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, when skies are blue and stay that way. Somebody wake from the anxiety.
Where the blue of the eyes meets the gold of the hair, no one else could ever wear. Halo, so tender.
This boy is ready for a live show.
If I could only be there, we'd never go wrong. I'd boo boo boo, inka dinka doo, starting day with a song.
Why, where the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, where the skies are blue and stop that way. See, Bing, what I mean? It's soft. It's sweet.
I'm living.
It's gentle.
It's charming and so debonair. Why, it's in the approach to the song that you sing.
If you don't sing it right, well, it don't mean a thing.
Ah, oh, you've been grand, James, grand. How can I thank you?
Don't mention it, Bing. Just sing soft and sweet.
And gentle, just remember, the whole thing is meant to
sing soft.
Sing soft. Sing sweet. Sing gentle.
Oh, my God, we had everybody in the business in it. Everybody. We had more firsts than anyone in the business, like Margaret Truman. We had her on, and she was wonderful with us. Really, really wonderful. She was so great, you know, that I had her on for about 4 or 5 shows. And then there was, Eddie Cannon. Jolson. God, Jolson was a guest star. I was a guest star on his show. She had some great shows with Eddie and Jolson.
You, Eddie. We're gonna make Capitol Street proud of us yet. That's what we're gonna do. Hit it!
We're right at home here on Catherine Street.
Hit it!
Be it so humble as ours.
Yeah. Here's where we start out, we take it from here.
We'll pour our heart out and try to have a big career. Jimmy, the show business is going to be a natural for us.
Yeah, but all we got to worry about are the stars of today.
What are you talking about? Don't worry about them. The world needs new faces, and here we are, bright and shiny and young.
And now we're new faces, we'll be a star. Our thing is yet to be loved.
Why, those old timers have had their moments. They're no longer a threat.
How corny can they get?
They have to make way for the younger set.
Say, now we're new faces, we're going places.
We're opening shop.
Why, we're not gonna stop. I think we're blowing our top. Now we keep going till 1954.
Now, wait a minute. 1954, how you talk? Why, in 1954, we'll be too old to even walk.
We're bright, shiny, young, brand new faces.
Already, we gotta stand side by side and stick together.
Yeah, and anything I have is yours.
Yeah, and vice versa. Eddie, yeah. You know my song?
Yep.
You know my start off each day with a song?
Yeah.
It's yours. Hit it.
Okay. You gotta start off each day with a song.
Yeah. Even when things go wrong.
Why, you'll feel better.
You'll even look better. I'm here to tell you, you'll be a go-getter.
I'm walking in the park the other day when suddenly...
its head above the ground.
Yeah?
And it says to another little worm nearby, "You're very cute. I would like to marry you." And the other little worm looked up and said, "Don't be a dope. I'm your other end."
I got a million of them, a million of them.
If he's got a million of them, how come he gave me that one?
So you know, you just can't go wrong.
And then,
if you start off each day with a song.
And Jimmy, you can have a few new Susie, and I'll coach you.
No. Now, you new
he had a mustache, cute as a pot.
Oh, no.
Susie kissed him, and she burned the damn thing up if you.
As a young man caught in the girls, I played me a waiting game. If a maid refused me with toss and coils, I let the old earth take a couple of whirls. While I plied her with tears in lure of pearls. And as time came around, she came my way. And as time came around, she came through. Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September. When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the waiting game. Oh, the days dwindle down to a precious few. Precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you. Precious days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you.
To the usual fast tunes, Durante has had great success with ballad-type songs he introduced on our TV show some years ago. The best of these are September Song and Young at Heart, and there are many more. Jimmy does not try to compete with the big-name singers vocally, but nobody can sell the lyrics to this type of song like he can. Several years ago, we made two albums for Warner Brothers, all beautiful ballads and show tunes. I used an orchestra of 28 men and an 8-voice choir for background, arranged most of the material myself and had a ball doing it and conducting the recording sessions. One of the albums was recorded in Las Vegas. Jimmy was playing the Desert Inn, doing two long shows a night. The recording session started after his second show at the ungodly hour, 2:30 a.m. The only time you could get the best musicians, because they played all of the shows along the strip. Jimmy was well rehearsed, and we did not have a single retake on his account. The man is tireless and has a lot more energy than most people half his age.
1972. The Durante career continues. The Frontier Hotel, Las Vegas.
Here he is, the one and only, Jimmy Shazova Durante, in person.
Well, the reason we hire a 79-year-old man is because a 79-year-old man does a very, very fine job for us here at the Frontier. His showroom count is very steady. We get what in Las Vegas we call the right kind of people. In other words, people who like Las Vegas and like gambling. So his audiences are very good for us. And as I say, we've had a very steady room count. We hope we can keep him indefinitely. He is coming back in December this year. And we know he'll do as good a job as he's been doing for us in the past. We received an award from the governor. Celebrated 55 years in show business. He has, of course, been in show business more than 55 years. We started when he was a teenager, playing piano on Coney Island. But they set an official period with his okay of 55 years. And that was a very heartwarming thing. Most of the major stars on the strip attended the presentation. And it really was a nice evening.
That's the way Jimmy was. Well, you know, any place you went with him, it was a parade. You'd walk down Vine Street to go down to NBC in those days. People up out of windows were waving. Kids would join in. He's like a sort of a Pied Piper. I could probably go on talking all day about Jimmy Durante because I really did love the guy. And, it's been a great thing in my life to have been able to work with him.
Jimmy never sloughed anything. He was an intensive worker. He'd go over and over his material. He'd want to do it just right. Just before going on the air, I'd sit with him and he'd run it down. We'd get the right kind of emphasis. Durante style. Not mine. And he put a lot of work in. He was he seemed to be a guy that kind of slept things off, but he never did as far as his script work, and I don't think his movie work either.
We did our last TV series in 1956. After that, I conducted and arranged for many of Jimmy's guest shots and some recordings. Up to just recently, I continued arranging for his stage and club act. But he now relies on his tried and true material, and that's what the people come to hear, the real Durante. I enjoyed every moment of my more than 20 years with this great entertainer, loved by all, in and out of the entertainment business as a performer and as a man.
I think it was Robert Benchley who once wrote that there should be a society made up of people who appreciate Durante for the right reasons, because the right reasons are not simply that he is funny or that he has a comic clown appearance. The real reason is that through all of the clownishness and the uproarious atmosphere that he creates, there's a feeling of great gallantry of the little man totally unwilling to be defeated. And this is the real reason to appreciate Durante, the great gallantry of the man. And I think that's the very essence of his character. And I remember at one time when we were on the air, our advertising agency, got analytical, as advertising agencies are prone to do sometimes, and they decided to have all of their creative people sit down and write an essay, if you will, on what made Durante and Moore as a team tick, because they wanted to reduce it to a formula, lest we lose it. Well, they sat down and everybody tried writing an essay, and nobody really came up with anything that made too much sense. But it was all brought out one day when Jimmy and I were holding a conversation, and for some reason or other, why, I don't know, but Jimmy mispronounced a word. I recall the word was, he said, "I'm on the horns of a delenia." Now, why I bothered to correct him, I don't know. I said, "Jimmy, I think you mean on the horns of a dilemma." And Durante said, "Go ahead, educate me, and we'll both be out of a job."
Well, let me tell you something. There's only a few of them. There's Jack Benny. Way up there. Great guy. And with me, I don't know. I tell you something, it's a funny thing.
This is Howard Petrie again.
You better love today than you ever were in your life. And I think that's the secret of they love you. No, I don't have to do it, but that's what keeps me going. I love it. And as long as, as far as health is concerned, with the help of God, I got my health. And if I was a sick man, I wouldn't do it. And I love it. That's what it is. What does it do? And I've seen Niagara Falls. I've seen there's nothing to see. So I don't think there's... it's a wonderful thing. And I love people. I really love people. And it's wonderful when people come and say, "You're marvelous. We love the show. You brought us a lot of happiness." And sincere people. Really sincere. No faking. No, not just because they don't go out of their way to come over and tell you that.
Jimmy, you mean Van Heusen?
No, Van Johnson. When they get too tight for his neck, they're mine.
Good night, Mr. Durante.
Good night, Mr. Moore.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Mrs. Halifax. Good night.
Well, that's all for tonight, folks. So goodbye now for Suzanne Ellers, Roy Borgi, and his orchestra. Yours truly, Howard Petrie.
And Jimmy Durante.
And Gary Moore in person.
Until next Friday, same time, same Columbia station. Good health to all from Rexall. This program is produced and directed by Bill Cohan. This show is rebroadcast to our troops overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Reminiscing, I feel. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Be with us next week for another nostalgic look at radio of yesteryear.
And now it's just about time we were picking up our members and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them, as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you. And I'll be keeping my weather eyes peeled, yes, sir, looking for you all to join us the next time we drop around this way for a friendly little get-together. And I hope that'll be real soon, folks. And until then, this is your old friend Singin' Sam saying goodbye for now.
Same Time, Same Station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Price. Special research by Martin Halpern, and I'm Bill Browning. Our thanks to Elon Packard, Roy Bargy, Gary Moore, Phil Cohan, and Jimmy Durante for their help in our Jimmy Durante series.
Be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.